Good morning and happy Reformation Day. It's time for Daily Chap. The text is Revelation chapter 14, verses 6 through 7, and Romans chapter 3, verses 19 through 28. The Reverend Dr. Matthew Harrison is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from St. Paul's letter to the Romans. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by which, by his blood, to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be justified and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of a law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Romans 3:19-18. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Blessed Reformation to all of you. I was in Rome some years ago, and I wanted to crawl up the Scala, those steps that are at the Lateran, and they were the steps that allegedly they showed up in the 12th century as the steps that Christ actually crawled up at the Praetorium or someplace in preparation for his crucifixion. They're suspect, of course, because most of these kind of relics show up about the 12th, 13th, 14th centuries, you know, and a lot of them are unknown prior to that. So it reminds one of Luther's joke that there are 18 apostles buried in Germany alone. But I wanted to crawl up those Scala just to see what it was like for Luther when he visited in 1510. He was so offended by Rome. And it was a great time, too. They had removed the boards for the first time in hundreds of years, and the steps were deeply worn. I mean, deeply worn from all the faithful crawling up those steps over the years. And of course, I wasn't praying for any indulgences. I decided I would pray for Herb Miller on every step. Herb was ailing at the time. And it was packed, wall to wall. And you got somebody else's rear end right in front of you as you're crawling up there. And then all of a sudden comes this word from the top. One prayer per step, please. One prayer per step. So a bunch of nuns were hogging the steps, saying more than one prayer. And I thought, this is exactly what Luther experienced. And when he got to the top of this... these steps, which proclaimed an indulgence for anybody or indulgence for relatives. He said he prayed them for his father, his grandfather, or grandmother. And he said, who knows if this is true? And it's amazing there today. You see a plaque like you see all over Rome. If you are Catholic in good standing, you receive a indulgence for participating in this, walking through this door, visiting that relic, or who knows what. It's actually, if you walk through Rome, it's like the Reformation has never occurred. The Joint Declaration of Justification came out, agreement between the Lutheran World Federation and the Vatican in the late 90s, and yet there are You just have to look it up on the internet. The Pope regularly declares indulgences for this or that. And indulgences are this. It's alleged that Christ has paid the eternal punishment for sins, but you got to pay the temporal stuff that is left when you die because you're not holy enough. And you go to purgatory and you get roasted for a while so you can pay off what you still owe. Christ didn't pay the whole shot. Well, it's kind of silly to talk about agreement and justification with that going on. Although there has been progress in various ways, to be sure. It was an amazing walk in Little Wittenberg. Luther, the Augustinian friar, little troublemaker, decided he wanted an academic debate. He was concerned about indulgences. He was concerned about them for pastoral reasons. People were acting like swine, and yet in the duchy over the river, they said they were getting these indulgences, and they would still live like swine, and they would, when they die, go straight to heaven. So it was a pastoral concern for him, and he questioned the sale of indulgences. Said a number of things. If the Pope can let people out of purgatory, why doesn't he just let all of them out? A number of other things. But it really wasn't this day, this October 31st, which was the big, big day for Luther. We celebrate it as the anniversary of the Reformation, now 506 years old. But Luther himself was not yet clear on the gospel at this point. If you read the 95 Theses, you'll scratch your head over much of them. The first one he's certain about, when our Lord and Master Jesus Christ calls us to repent, he wills that the entire life of the Christian be one of repentance. He knew that for sure. He was a Christian. He had been troubled by his sins. He had suffered his Anfechtungen, which is that special German word that means an attack. I mean, attack of the devil. He wasn't sure, couldn't be sure of whether an absolution was an absolution because it required satisfaction for sins to be ratified. That is his satisfaction. He had many doubts as a monk. He was tortured. He tortured himself. He was studying intensely. He knew the medieval theology of humility. Despite the whole Roman Catholic system of indulgences and sacramental activity where basically you're the one who does the stuff for God to get merits. Despite all of that, he knew God has mercy on the repentant, on the humble. Well, this whole indulgence thing kicked up a big firestorm right away because it was connected to money. And boy, if you want to get anybody in the church excited, connect doctrine and money. And wow, do you get somebody's attention in the bureaucracy right away. Well, he didn't know this, but the Pope had approved a plenary indulgence so that the Archbishop of Mainz could get his archbishopric. And to pay him back, they hired a fund developer named Tetzel, rhymes with pretzel. And he started raising money, and he was very effective, very scurrilous. And the Pope needed to raise money for the building of St. Peter. So when you go to Rome, go and look at that magnificent temple, just remember our German ancestors paid for a good bit of it. Well, in the struggle that ensued, Luther studied. He hit the book of Hebrews. He continued to look at the Psalms. And it was through that intense study that he started to let go of Augustine. Augustine had been one step along the way, for instance. Augustine said a lot of things about righteousness, about God's righteousness, about the gift of righteousness, but yet wasn't totally clear on righteousness as God's forensic declaration. You are righteous for the sake of Christ. And that's not about you becoming interiorly more righteous. It's the sanative view. It's not about you getting holier in and of yourself. The gospel is this. It is Christ's righteousness attributed to you freely. By grace, a gift, and received by faith alone. Which is perfect. There is no need for purgatory. None whatsoever. This message of the Reformation really was expressed by Luther finally and fully in probably about April of 1518, his so-called tower experience. He talks about how all of a sudden it was as though the doors, the gates of heaven were opened wide to him. And this word righteousness of God, which he hated, he now understood. It's a righteousness not generated within ourselves. It's a righteousness gifted to us because of Christ. And that made all the difference. It unleashed him to understand the entire Bible. All of a sudden, law and gospel became clear in the whole Bible. All of a sudden, it's all clear. All of a sudden, the Christian life becomes clear. We live the Christian life because we've been given a gift. And the gift can't help but make us evermore whom Christ has declared us to be. His people. To respond in love. Can't be any other way. Faith is a living, mighty, and active thing, sharper than any two-edged sword. As the Reformation progressed, the major problem was the problem over against the Reformed. And that is a number of people who took the Reformation farther. They said, Luther, you're still wrapped up in vestments. Luther, you're still doing the liturgy. Luther, you're still hanging on to all kinds of old customs. Luther, you're still hanging on to confession absolution. Luther, you're still hanging on to antiquated and ridiculous Catholic views on the real presence of Christ in the sacrament. Luther, you're still stuck with baptism, thinking that water and word actually forgive sins. This became a terrible front on the Reformation on the other side. And Luther stood fast and said, we must stand with the Scriptures. The Scriptures are clear. Jesus says, this is my body. This is my blood. Whatever you can say about it, those words say what actually is the case. In a miraculous, sacramental way, same body and blood which hung on a cross for the forgiveness of sins. That split the Reformation. And it split the entire history of Protestantism after that. You know, you don't really have 100 or 200 or 300 choices for Christian churches in America. It's a very simple choice. You can be Roman Catholic or Eastern Orthodoxy, depending on who has the highest authority in the church, councils or Pope. You can be Reformed, which in its many variations all deny that body and blood are in the sacrament, that a pastor's absolution holds good, that forgiveness is something that you don't decide on but given to you freely. Or you can be Lutheran, which confesses the justification by grace through faith and the delivery by the means of grace. So is the Reformation still necessary today? Absolutely. The old opinion of the law resides in every one of us, that I can somehow please God because of my works for eternal life. People we deal with in our lives daily have that idea. Sometimes as pastors, we're at the bedside of people who shockingly express this idea after having heard a lifetime of Lutheran sermons. Lord, have mercy upon us. Virtually everyone we meet will start off with, I'm a good person, if the issue comes to God or eternal life. Is the Reformation still necessary today? Absolutely. The Lutheran World Federation, the liberal Lutherans have compromised at every point. Go to their website, you see nothing of the gospel. It's all justice. no gospel. They promote homosexuality. They promote fellowship with Reformed churches. They have given up the ghost on Lutheranism. We exist with our worldwide partners to confess the sola scriptura. The scriptures are the authority. And the Lutheran confession is true because it's Catholic, ancient, and biblical. Especially biblical. And with this message, we rejoice wherever the gospel is preached and believed, and it's believed and preached far outside of Lutheranism, also within Roman Catholicism and everywhere else, as Luther believed himself. But we have a special task, a special ecumenical task as Lutherans, to hold forth the truth of this fundamental confession. The chief parts of the Catechism are incredibly ecumenical. Ten Commandments, Creed, Lord's Prayer, Baptism, Absolution, Supper. They're incredibly universal. Let's hold forth to our ancient Catholic and Lutheran confession of the faith, the Gospel. I want to read this text to you just one more time. Melanchthon said, pay attention to the particles, those little parts in the text. For we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that upon every mouth be stopped. There's no speaking back to God. There's no pleading your righteousness. That every single mouth be stopped, including yours. And the whole world be held accountable to God. All paths, the whole world held accountable to God. Wherefore, out of works of law, no one, no, not all flesh, no flesh is a Hebraism, no flesh will be justified before him. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. But now, apart from law, a righteousness of God is revealed, being borne witness to by the law and the prophets, the righteousness of God through faith. For there's no difference between any of us. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and are justified freely. By this faith, by this grace, through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by the LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.